Today is going to be amazing because we've got a fantastic guest, haven't we, Louise?
We do indeed. So welcome to the Netmoms podcast. We like to think that we have real parenting conversations on the podcast, and it's great that we're bringing them here live today. So today we're talking about what it really takes, both emotionally and physically, to become a parent when the road isn't so straightforward.
Yeah, and I think today is a big one. Some of you may know that not every parenting journey is very, very easy. And so without further ado, we will welcome our guest for today. It's Liz McLaren Cho. Woo! Welcome, Liz.
Hi, thank you.
Have you back?
Thank you. Shall I put some floor?
Hi, everyone.
Hello. A lovely little baby in the front as well. VIP guest for you.
No.
So Liz, you've been incredibly open about your journey. 8 rounds of IVF over 3 years, 2 miscarriages, and the emotional toll that came with it as well. When you're coming to terms with the possibility of not having children before you decided to try that one last time. Just take us back. When you think back to those early stages of your journey when you decided to become a mother, what do you remember from those days, and how does it feel as well for you to think back to those days?
Wow, tough times, definitely tough times. But now that I'm on the other side, I can only think positively about it, which, you know, and I know it wasn't all positive, but I can only think positively because I got what I wanted.
Alexander.
Yeah, I got baby Alexander, my absolute world, our world. It was tough, but you can't, I have to leave that there.
Yeah.
You know, you just have to go, I'm done now. We have this. Let's go forward.
And baby Alexander's 6 months now.
He is.
Well, an absolute pride and joy.
Yes.
As your center of your universe.
He is, totally.
And how was it this morning leaving him to come to the baby show?
It was like, as we were on the train together, and as the train was getting further and further away from the house, from where we live, I was just like, Oh my God, this is the furthest I've been away from him.
And it's a big deal.
It is a big deal. It is. That first time. You're like, this is the first thing I've done without him. And because, you know, at 6 months, it does take, as you well know, it takes a lot to get out initially, all the stuff, all the paraphernalia, you know. So I just thought, I'm just going to go for a few hours, which is also very nice.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Did you still find yourself like packing a packet of wipes and like a dummy? And
got the wipes. I've got the
on your
disinfectant
own.
Wipes. I've got, yeah. I've actually got a dummy. And as we know, I found a nappy bag in my jeans pocket before.
Oh yeah.
Oh god.
It used to be poo bags, dog bags, but now it's nappy bags.
Listen, Liz, you touched, or we've mentioned about your IVF journey not being an easy one. And of course, from your perspective, I can only imagine what you would have gone through. Mm. But from a couple's perspective as well, how, you've been married to your partner since 2021.
Yeah.
What was that experience like for both of you? And do you have any sort of insights for people who might be going through a similar journey?
Wow. God, it sounds like really like the normal thing that you would say, but you do have to talk to each other. You really do. He's an excellent man. He was really like, he, every time we failed, he would say, okay, it's up to you. Not. He didn't put the pressure on me, but he was like, can you physically do this again? Where are you? Where are you mentally? Where are you physically? What do you think? And sometimes I say, yeah, I'm good. And then I change my mind. Sometimes I say, I'm not good, and change my mind again. But he just really helped me, really supported me. And I think as a man, as a father anyway, that's all you can do, really.
Yeah.
You know, because it's the woman's journey, like physically.
Yeah.
So as a man, you have to be there to support.
Yeah, it's the emotional support. And I think you're right. For me personally, as a husband, as a father, that's definitely the role that I took on. Would you say that you learned things about each other that you hadn't perhaps previously?
Yeah. Do you know what? No, definitely, definitely.
He's clean.
Yeah.
Yes.
He found out that I'm not a patient woman. I am not a patient woman. And I found out that he's gold, but I really did realize that he was the right one. We were already married, and I went, oh wow, he is the right one. I can't imagine, and we said it to each other several times, I can't imagine doing this with anyone else apart from you.
Oh,
because we helped each other, and it was rubbish at times, and we were at each other's throats at times, which is normal.
Yeah.
But it worked.
What advice would you have to someone who was going through, who might maybe going through a very long IVF journey themselves? What advice would you give to someone?
Well, I don't think that you can actually give any advice in that. I think that it has to be, you can give the physical advice, like, you know, my third round, for instance, I got quite sick. Physically, I wasn't in a good place to do more cycles. Emotionally, I was in a really dark place. I think you can say, that's okay. If you're here, that's okay. You know, that's quite normal. Normal's not a great word, but you know what I mean? That happens. But I think you can't give advice when it comes to IVF. I think it's like, it is personal. You've got to do it your way, and that's it.
Another slightly personal question. Well, it's quite a personal chat.
Yeah. Isn't it?
When did you know that you wanted to become a mum?
I knew I wanted to become a mum when I met Pete.
Quite late on in
Your life. And that's why. So we met in 2021 and pretty much straight away, we got engaged like 7 months later. And then pretty much straight away, I said, you know, what are you thinking about kids? And he was like, I want children with you. And I was like, well, I want children with you. It just sort of hit me.
Yeah.
I did. I wanted his children. And
so how old were you then?
I was 40 then. But I'm he's a doctor. So we decided that we, you know, medically, we were just, he had the idea of let's see if we're okay. Yeah. You know, to save ourselves the try
yeah.
sort of scenario. Let's see what happens. And from pretty much straight away, they said, there's a few issues to do with age, to do with this, to do with that. You know, do you want to try IVF? And we just went, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
It kind of ran away with us a bit, really.
Yeah. And how did you feel about approaching a motherhood journey slightly later than the average woman?
Do you know what? When it all started, I felt...
For you or...
I don't know.
Completely optimistic?
I think you can only be optimistic. Yep. I think that's the only way to be. I think there must have been moments of doubt where I was like, wow, I'm going to be this age when he's this age. You know, those kind of things in your head. But you can only just carry on. Just, you know, you can't think about it that way, really.
Yeah. Now, you did try IVF a number of times. Tell us about that day, that moment where you said to yourselves, okay, we're going to give it one last try. And then obviously you had your happy ending.
Do you know what? It's so funny because I've said it several times that like, oh, one last try. But I think that every time it happened, I'd be like, one last go. So I think if it hadn't happened this time, there would have been several.
Still be going.
Several more. Yeah. One last goes, you know, financially, hoping so financially. But I think, God, JB, what did you say? I've still got baby brain.
I was going to ask, because it's a question I always ask.
Yeah.
Ever since realizing from somebody on the NetMums team, actually, that they took 7 pregnancy tests when they found out they were pregnant because they didn't believe the first pregnancy test. What was it like when you saw that positive reading on the pregnancy stick?
So I was really naughty. So you have your, when you have IVF, and I think normally anyway, you have your 2-week wait. And on about day 8, I was like, I'll just have a look. It was like, you as well? Yeah.
You are so impatient. You're so right.
So this is what happened. So my husband was at work and I'm like, I just see it's the morning, you know, I'll just have a look. But then I started to get nervous as well because I was like, is this the end again? I didn't know. So
yeah.
I went to the bathroom, did what you do, and it just came up. And I was like, I'm shaking now, remembering.
Wow.
Started sobbing because actually, to be honest, it was fear. Straight away, it was fear.
Yeah.
More than happiness. And I rang Pete and I said, I'm so sorry, I should have done it with you, but baby, we're pregnant. And he just went, oh my God. And this guy is cool as a cucumber. he's such a chill man. And he was like, baby, I love you. Oh my God. He's going to kill me for saying that, actually. And that was it, you know, and it went pretty well from then onwards.
But the flip side of that, obviously, is you said that you stepped away from social media at the time.
Yes.
Because you actually find it quite hard to smile.
Yeah.
For the public.
Yes.
Can you tell us about that? What was going through your mind then?
I just couldn't do like social media. Like, you know, you'd just like be I wasn't happy. So I couldn't show being happy. And I am quite private. I don't really like to share too much about things. And you know, JB, when you've got to be on, like even my Atomic Kitten was a long time ago, but you still feel like you're that person and you do it, and you, whether you're touring or not, you're still that person in your head. And
absolutely.
I just couldn't be like this, you know, happy person. And I just, because I wasn't happy. So, and also I tried to stay off social media as well, because I'm sure some people know, is when you're trying, all you see is other people that have these
comparison. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the IVF journey in itself can be quite isolating, because not everybody experiences that. And even if you have difficulty conceiving and things like that, you know, I think that's quite a unique journey. Why would you say that it's, if you felt the same, why would you say that it's isolating? And what helped you get through some of those tougher moments?
Do you know, really, so it's such a weird bit of a, I'm saying advice, but it's such a weird thing. I had to make my mind was so busy and I was felt so mixed up that I had to make my mind blank, almost like only think of the future. And a lot of people would call that like manifesting or whatever, but it kind of wasn't, because I wasn't doing it on purpose. I just had to make my mind blank. So every time I'd think, well, if this doesn't happen this time, then I'll do it next time, but I don't know. I'd have to stop and go, no, blank. And I would put the TV on and I became like a couch potato. I would just watch TV. That was the only thing that worked for me, just like anything on TV. I didn't want to go out because I just didn't want to interact with a lot of people, to be honest, as well. So TV was just, that's all I did. Yeah. Blank mind, rubbish on telly.
But then onto positive things with the pregnancy.
Yep.
Where's... Some days the skin's glowing.
What days are those?
Some days, some days. Look, I've been there twice. But I know you experienced pelvic girdle pain.
Oh, yeah.
How did that affect you?
I mean, getting in and out of the car. I couldn't get in and out of the car, but I couldn't walk anywhere. I found it quite funny, to be honest. I was in so much pain.
We're in pain.
Well, I was in so much pain, but I found it quite funny. I was just so... Every time it got really bad, I'd go, but I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I'm here. Thank you so much for my pain. It was just so stupid, but that's how I felt.
Yeah. Well, you described Baby Alexander, before he was Baby Alexander, as like the Hulk inside your tummy. And I'm sure there are definitely going to be women here who can identify with that. Talk us a bit about what that was like.
Because they kept telling me he's going to be big, and IVF babies can be big, and he's going to be really big, he's going to be massive. He didn't come out massive. apparently that's quite common as well.
He just loves a scrap.
Well, I tell you what, he didn't lose any baby weight. He's just this big fella now. He's absolutely amazing, of course. But I was just waddling along for about a good 3 months.
Oh, gosh, bless you.
And after having Alexander, because I know you've been open about your birth story as well. And I know there was some sort of troubling aspects to that, because as much as you can plan a birth, it doesn't always go to plan.
When do they?
But let's move on to those first few days with Alexander. What were they like?
Petrifying.
Everything you've been... Well, it's petrifying.
Petrifying. You're looking at this little baby, this gorgeous little thing, and you're like, oh, sugar. Oh, yeah. And like, yeah, is it my... Is it mine? Are they mine? You know, what do I do? And we were laughing before about somebody said to me that when they first came home from hospital, the husband actually asked, I can't remember who it was, but the husband actually asked the midwife, so what time do you pop round? Is it morning and afternoon, or just morning, or is it just afternoon? And the midwife was like, no, mate, I'm done. Yeah, you're gone. I'm gone. And that, I would have loved that. Just a pointer. I mean, I was ringing those midwife lines twice a day.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I think you never really realize until it's almost too late. Because the examples I always had from my parents and from my elders, should I say, was that it is very hands-on. You had so much more help.
Yeah.
These days, I mean, you can literally be discharged within 24 hours.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it makes a massive difference. I don't know whether you breastfed or either you breastfed, but with Chloe, she breastfed and it was something she really wanted to do. But of course, you don't have any idea of how to do it really and truly. And so we needed to have that help. And luckily, she was able to get it.
Yeah, that is lucky. It didn't happen for me, sadly. I tried really hard and it really didn't happen for me. And I just wish that I knew more outlets actually to reach out to. I wish I did.
You wish there'd been more support.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it just, maybe it would have happened to me if I'd have known more. And I don't get me wrong, the hospital I was at really helped. They had a class and everything before I left. It's brilliant. But it just didn't happen for me.
Yeah. Oh God, I remember that moment when you leave the hospital and you've got the baby in the car seat and it's like, see ya.
And you're putting this baby in the car seat and you're like, oh, is that going to break the baby? It's like this, like, straps over the baby. And I'm like, it's so fragile. Like, I'm so scared.
On that note, tell us about the first few days, but the day that you decided, we're going to go out.
Right, I'm going to be honest. Baby. It wasn't my choice. I would have stayed in for a good four more weeks for defo. I can't remember. I think it was probably about 2 weeks later. I was ready. I wasn't ready before that. And my husband was just like, there's a cafe around the corner. Let's just pop
to the
cafe.
Come on, you can do this.
Yeah, let's just pop to the cafe. I was like, he has not injections. I'm not going anywhere. I'm all this. So, it took a while. And I was just, I was so worried.
But you described it as being a bit like a gift in the end.
Yes, yeah. It's a gift. I think they're really clever the way they work it with the NHS. They go... So you have to go, you've got your appointment, you have to go. I can't remember, is it the next? No, someone comes out to you the next.
Yeah, it's me, it was a long time ago.
And then you have to go for an appointment somewhere to the midwife. And that
health checks.
I felt that was really too soon. But actually, when we were there, I was like, I'm really grateful, because if someone would have said it's your choice if you go out, I wouldn't have gone out.
Yeah.
But because we had to go out,
we then
went for a cup of tea after.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I get it. Yeah, I feel a bit better. And it gets you out gradually. And I think that's really clever the way they do that. And I'm really grateful for that.
That would be like one of my top tips to a newborn mum friend would be to get out in the park, do a lap of the park, even if it's only for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Just getting out the house, brush your hair, wash your face. You don't have to make it into the shower because that's not always the easiest.
Do you have to wash your face? I know.
But just get out and get some fresh air on your face and it makes you feel more human again, I think.
It does. Even, and it was like...
Even when it feels like the hardest time.
It was, heavy winter as well for us and it was still nice. It was.
Yeah, no, it's different in the winter because I remember my firstborn was October and you just want to sort of...
Yeah, you want to hunker down.
Yeah.
You don't want to leave anywhere.
Liz, I'm interested to know, like, after your long journey to becoming a mum, and then also the life stage you're in, and you were 44 when you had your baby. Has that changed the way you view the way you mother or motherhood or the mum you want to be at all?
God, no. I think I am... I think in my head I'm still about 16 and I looking
aren't
at
we all
yeah
aren't we all
my knees aren't 16 now. Jeez. I think the only thing that's different is my bones creak a bit more, but I think I feel like I'm some kind. I think it's the same if you're 20 or you're 44 mentally. It's just like, oh my God, what do I do, that kind of thing. And then you slowly learn a lesson. I found that out with people who've had as you both will know, you're the second or the third child. You think you're like, I got this, and then the kid's totally different and you're like, oh no, I haven't got this. Wait, so if we're blessed with another one, then maybe that's what'll happen to us.
What would you say has surprised you most about newborn life so far?
Two things. I think, when I look at my friends who are mothers and I think, oh, that's really nice. That's really nice for you. And I bet you love your child so much. And they're like, I love my child so much. And I bet you do. That's really nice. And then you have your baby and you go, oh, yeah, right. You love your child so much. That's, I get it now. Because, of course, it looks lovely. Of course, someone loves their baby. But from the outside, you go, oh, okay, yeah, I get it, yeah.
No, everyone, when you've got that, I know actually even from the short time that I've spoken to you today, I think I've seen pictures. I've been very to see lots of pictures, baby Alexander from Liz as well.
What about this one? What about this one? This one.
Very, very cute baby, I have to say. Going back to like the life stage you're at as a mum as well, do you feel like because you're older and because maybe friends have had babies or families have had babies, do you feel like there's more of a pressure on you to get it right? Or do you trust yourself more because you're a slightly, I don't want to say older mum.
I'm older. That's just facts. You know what I mean? not.
Do you feel like you can trust yourself with some of the things you're doing, or
oh god,
when
no.
he's doing things?
God no. I feel like people must look at me and think you have zero instincts, because I'm like, but I think it's my journey, and that's it. You know, it's my baby, my journey. Yeah. I think you follow all the guidelines, but you just do your best.
Yeah.
That's yeah. it. Yeah.
Because I'm an impatient person, but I'm also a little bit like, if someone says these are the rules, I'll go, okay, that's the rule and we must do it at this time. So I'm trying to chill a bit. Like things like yesterday, a friend popped over and I haven't seen them for a long time. And I'm trying to give Alexander his solids at the minute. And I wanted to give him his solids at a certain time, and he's been having them for a certain time for a week now. And then I was half an hour out yesterday, and it just...
What's going to...
Oh, well. No, honestly, I was like... And my mum was like, Elizabeth, it's fine. I was like, don't tell me it's fine. He's got a routine.
Half an hour late.
Yeah, so... And she was like, please calm down. I was like, all right, yeah, fair enough.
So that actually leads me into another question. Do you feel like... Are you a slave to routine generally? It sounds like you are, judging by that.
I'm not a slave to routine for myself.
Right.
Wow.
Quite wishy-washy. A bit, but I do, if somebody says this is the rule and most things will be fine if you do this.
Yeah.
I think for something as precious and as serious as a baby, I will follow that rule.
Right.
And I will do it to the letter.
Would you say that that's as a result of your journey, or that would have been something that you'd have done anyway?
Do you know what? That's a really good point, actually. Probably. Yeah, because I wasn't really that person myself. So I guess because of the journey that we've been through, it's been 8 cycles, 4 years, I guess, now including Alexander. I think it is because of that, to be honest, because if I do this...
And I get it right.
Yeah, if I take this injection at a certain time, then this will happen. And if I do take these tablets, this will happen. So now I probably think if I do this for him at this time, he will do this. And so,
yeah,
of course, that doesn't work with a baby, but...
Yeah.
We all know there's a lot of information out of there when it comes to raising your kid or having a baby. And it's quite hard sometimes to work out which information to listen to, which information's right, which to ignore. Where do you get your information from?
Oh, wow. Well, when I was doing IVF, Instagram page called IVF Babble. That was excellent. They had interviews with consultants from all different countries, and it was really, really great. So IVF Babble, that was really good. And information, I think I like the NHS pages.
I just did.
Love the NHS, yes.
And the Net Mums.
And Net Mums, of course. Yeah. Ops. I thought that was sordy. Like, yeah.
I was going to say, what kind of values now, because of course your husband Peter's got Asian culture as well. What kind of values are really important to you for baby Alexander?
Oh God, I just want him to know. I don't want him to know who he is. Obviously, I want him to know about his father's culture. I want him to know about Scouse culture as well.
Come on.
Whoop, whoop.
I want him to, he's such a lovely boy. I want him to grow up to be like his dad, in that his dad's really strong but chill and, you know, not as erratic as me. So I just want him to be like that. I want him to be strong, but I want him to grow up to understand women as well. Like, you know, that's a big thing. Yeah. That's really important to me.
Oh, that's
so listen, that stems from the two of you and from what we've heard of Peter, and obviously, you know, everybody's heard of your journey. I'm sure that he will get all of that.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I'm going to say, you said becoming a mum as well feels like being given the world.
Yes.
And I'm sure a lot of people feel like that when they have their new baby in their arms. But how does that feel today, now with Alexander in your life, keeping you up at night, putting food to go on the walls?
Yeah, giving me styes. I've got a stye.
Dirty nappies.
Yeah. It feels exactly as it should do. I feel like this is what it was meant to be like. And I'm knackered. And... I'm really happy, and he's beautiful, and I'm just like, I'm really happy. Really, really, really happy.
And when you can compare it to other things you've achieved in your life, because obviously you were top of the charts at one point, traveling the world, meeting all the famous people, doing all the glamorous things. How does that, how does life compare now to those days?
Oh, it's very different. Wow. They're just different. They're different.
Prefer?
Oh God, no. I've worked hard to be a mum, so I want to be a mum. I would just be a mum now. But I do also think that you need your sanity as well. So coming here today by myself, it was my husband as well, was just like, you go, just go, get on the train by yourself, do that. And I was like, okay, I can do it. And here I am, and I do feel like a part of my former self is there still. And because I feel like a new person since I've had him, and I'm really happy.
It completely changes you.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm really happy.
And hopefully for the better.
Yeah, of course. I loved my life, and I love my life.
Yeah.
So it's a new chapter.
So becoming mum's like a new career highlight then.
It's a totally new career. New career highlight. Absolutely. Yeah. I love it. I'm really, really happy.
Oh, thanks, Liz. Thanks so much for coming and joining us today. And to
have me.
Baby Alexander.
Yeah, and you're smashing it, so keep smashing.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. So that's it. We are off stage here at the Baby Show in Birmingham at the NEC. Liz was a fantastic guest. But guess what? That's not it. We've got more Annette Munns podcast live. Where are we going next, Louise?
We are at London Kensington Olympia, October the 23rd to the 25th. So come and find us and come and listen to the Annette Munns podcast live.
See you then.